Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
The resurgence of Shawn Mendes.
He is back in the biggest way possible. And I am finding myself jealous of the fans that he takes pictures with.
Well, when we covered him, he was the tender age of like, what, 24?
Yeah.
And we felt truly sick about how objectifying we were being of him.
Yeah.
Now he's 25.
Our little prince has grown up.
Feels better.
Yeah.
Feels better.
Is he 25? He's not 26. Come on.
Are we giving it? Is this a little bit like Jennifer Lawrence and Finn Wolfhard of being like, when you hit 18, I'll be there.
Oh my God.
Remember that?
He's 26.
He's 26?
He's 26 years
old. Okay, that's doable.
That's a life partner.
No, I had a dream about him. It's getting bad. Getting really bad.
No, I have a huge crush on him. I have a huge crush on him.
It's the way he talks. It's everything. It's the fact that, like, I don't know if you saw, but he posted a photo with his feet out and someone commented like, oh my God, Shawn, like, you shouldn't be like letting the dogs out for free. And then he replied to the comment and said, if this is about my feet, that's hilarious. Doesn't know a thing.
Think about how much you could teach him about...
I could show him the world.
I know. You literally
magic carpet ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me. Like, and over here.
Me assuming the Aladdin role as I so often do.
I know. You are an educator so often. I see you doing the hard work.
Just robbing and educating.
Yeah. And it's a full-time job and you can never rest.
What a cutie.
I know.
And I never feel like that. I mean, you know, famously.
Yeah.
I don't really crush.
No. And sort of beautiful boys don't really work on you also. It's not about that.
No, they really don't.
Yeah.
It's an ineffable quality. It's like something that is difficult to articulate. I mean, hotness being the prevailing factor.
Of course.
Let's.
Yeah.
Objective beauty.
It is skin deep in that way.
But there's something more. Like, and the way that I just have never really felt, the last time I remember feeling like this was honestly about a celebrity was Justin Bieber.
I hoped you would say that.
When I was like 14.
Yeah.
That is like the last time I was like, whoa, this is something, you're doing something to me.
Yeah.
Like I was never a One Direction girl, never a Directioner.
Me either.
Never a like Enrique Iglesias really.
Yeah.
I mean, that was fun.
Who are the other like big like crushes?
Actually, Josh Hartnett. And if you connect all these boys, there's a through line in it for me. They all kind of look the same. They're like cookie boys, which we've explained before. Jacob Elordi. I know people who like would throw themselves under a bus to Jacob Elordi.
Yeah.
I know a girl who met Jacob Elordi with her boyfriend there, who is Australian. She's American.
Shot or shot?
Yes. He brought her home to Australia. They walk into a cafe. Jacob Elordi is in there. She's like, oh my God, that's Jacob Elordi. And imagine looking from your like Australian beau to Jacob Elordi and back again and being like, oh, like I thought I found the only hot Australian boy, but turns out there are more of them.
Yeah.
And in fact, he's sitting right in front of me and now I'm stuck with this old hag.
Yeah. That'll shake you up for sure. Yeah. That's tough. That's tough. And it's like, I'm looking at the possibility of a better life, frankly.
What did bring me joy but also shocked me was like him and Chris were eye to eye. Jacob and Chris.
Yeah.
Like he is a big man.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean the photos of him and Olivia Jade on vacation that have been circulating all through the town.
Don't bring
the
up ton. Such a thing. How dare you disrespect me in my own home.
I know. I'm sorry about that. I need to know what they talk about. It is one of the ones where I'm like, get me in the room for 2 minutes, please.
I mean, her failed rowing career.
Oh my God.
Because Kaya, you kind of understood.
Yeah. There's, it's something interesting happening.
It's
there.
The sharing of the paperback books back and forth.
Yeah.
'Tis the season, honestly, for crushes. We're moving into fall. It's cuffing time.
It is. Honestly. All the rewatches, Vampire Diaries rewatch. I have my inspiration.
What is it?
Where, and I might write about this. So if you try to steal this, listener, don't.
Okay.
Just don't.
Okay.
Where have all the damsels gone?
Where have all the damsels gone?
Damselry is gone. It's dead. There is like, we're not given the opportunity anymore to be damsels in distress and to be saved.
Mm.
There are like true damsels. And I thought about this because I watched Baby Girl, the new Nicole Kidman movie with Harrison, oh my God, Dickinson?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just realizing like they have to these days make women CEOs in any media text. Like a woman has to be like a high power bitch or else.
Yeah, it's a unique take on feminism, which is just like the type of feminism where women can be the worst.
Yeah.
They can be bad people all of a sudden.
And it's like they can need you, but they are also like completely in charge of their lives, have everything handled, have a ton of money, bestseller. There are no just like waifs.
Do you want the waifs back?
I miss them. I miss them. I want to watch something where the woman is not a head of a company. Head bitch in charge.
Mm-hmm.
I miss a true damsel. You know, like Elena Gilbert in Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, she was quite damsel.
She's just always being saved.
Yes.
And
but there was something that still was okay about it.
Oh, of course.
Because traditionally someone who is always being saved is the, like Bella. Bella Swan.
Bella Swan. That Bella Swan. Another damsel. Another damsel.
And the worst one on the planet.
Yeah.
Like just unbearable.
It's a boring damsel. And yes. That's unforgivable.
Do you know what I mean? You can be a damsel, but only at your own human shortfalls.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like it's like, look. Elena's not like holding a candle to Damon and Stefan in terms of like athletic ability.
No, no, no.
So it's like, well, she's doing the best she can with what she has. She's still making an effort.
Yeah.
It's the bitches that really just sit back and
just get stolen or thrown around. Yeah.
No,
true.
That we can't subscribe to.
I agree. No, I feel like I don't see it anymore. Like think of one text where you can find a damsel.
Yeah, it is tough that the dichotomy now is tough bitch.
Yeah.
Or sad, miserable little creature.
Yeah.
And there's kind of no in between.
I know.
You're right. There's a lack of nuance.
What if she's happy but useless?
Happy but useless. I mean, we should all endeavor to be that.
That's how I feel.
Mm.
That's how I feel.
Wow, that's a really interesting take because I'm also home alone at the moment. You know that Chris periodically goes away. And when he does, the sense of freedom I feel. And like, I wouldn't say, I think I'm pretty self-sufficient, but he does cook all my meals, which I've said before.
Yeah.
I'll say it up front and I have elicited a lot of jealousy from people have thoughts about it. And I understand that. We split chores evenly and he takes meals. But when he's gone, it's just, the world turns over a new leaf. Mm-hmm. I can just come in and out of the house without telling anyone where I'm going. There is something so powerful about that. Do you know what I did last night?
Tell me.
I got home midnight. I put on an episode of television.
Yeah.
I can't do that when Chris is because he's like too late sleep time, to sleep.
It would be inconsiderate.
Do you know what else I did? I then woke up at 6 a.m. That is untenable. In this household.
Yeah.
Because Chris needs his 12 hours. So I would be creeping around the house. You know what I did? I woke up at 6 a.m. I started cleaning. I put on a podcast loud.
Yeah.
Not on my headphones.
No need.
No need. Feed the cats. Do what I need to do.
Yeah.
And then I just thought about, you know, that statistic of like how childless single women are like the happiest in the world.
And live like 400 years.
Live 400 years. And it's all I could think about because I'm like, yeah, like the childless cat ladies of them all. Shout out JD.
Yeah.
Our boy out there. The childless cat ladies, like there's a reason it's a trope and it's because they're totally content.
Yeah.
And it's like you come home to something, you come home to two alive furry creatures who just like are happy to see you.
Yeah. Love you desperately.
Love you. Then you go out, you have a couple cocktails with the gals.
Yeah.
You know? And then you just continue on. You run your little errands.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound like a nice life?
Yeah, it does. I get it. I do really understand. And it just feels like no matter what, no matter how wonderful your life is, your partner is, your boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever.
Yeah.
To share a life with someone is to constantly compromise.
Yeah.
And it also it is to like rub against someone else's expectations, days, needs, things. There's just, and friction forms, no matter how wonderful it is.
That it's also like the heteronormativity of it, just like the hegemonic structure of love. Well, yeah. I'm really on my soapbox now.
I know.
But I was talking about it with a friend last night because she was like, oh my God, I've got the bridal shower and then I've got the bachelorette and then I've got like the two weddings, you know, the one in the south of France and the one, you know, and she was really breaking it down. And I was like, well, first of all, I've never really understood the concept of a bridal shower. Like you get gifts because someone proposed to you. Like that has never, like a baby shower, I'm like, totally.
Makes so much sense. Yeah.
But even that, I'm kind of like, but you chose this.
Yeah.
So we have to like gift you because you made a decision.
Yeah.
And it does beg the question, what if you get a promotion? What if you move countries? What if you get a where's the party? Where's the gifts?
Yeah.
And it's just something I can't shake the feeling of just like, okay, because someone like picked you or because you chose to bring new life, like, you get presents.
The bridal shower feels most confusing to me out of all of those, because also it is in advance of the wedding where you will receive
more
presents, yes, from those same exact people.
Right.
Because you wouldn't invite someone to your bridal shower that's not also going to your wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So just two gifts. You just get two gifts.
No, but then they have to go to the bachelorette as well. The girls that are at the bridal shower.
Yeah.
I had a friend who recently pulled out of her friend's wedding because the bridesmaids were asked to pay for the bridal shower. And she said no.
Yeah.
She said no. And like, I can't in good faith be your bridesmaid. A, we're not that close. And B, like, it's too expensive. Like, I actually can't afford it. She asked to like scrimp by sending out Evites instead of paper invitations. And the bride said no. So,
ooh.
Yeah. So it really, like, the writing was on the wall there. But my inspiration is so similar.
Oh my God, what is it?
It really hits on,
wow,
every single one of our points.
Yeah.
Last night I went to the Sweat Tour. Oh, feet, amazing. Charlie XCX and Troye Sivan. And people were dressed to the nines. I've never seen so many butt cheeks out, plaid skirts galore, white wife beaters, like you wouldn't believe. Of course, naturally. And drunk people. I actually haven't seen a girl's bare tits in a long time.
Oh my God.
And as a girl like tripped in front of me, her breasts spilled out of her corset. Very damsel.
Very damsel.
That's a damsel. So they spilled out of her corset and one of her gays was trying to like hold her up. And I went just like, babe, put the back in. And she couldn't hear me.
No.
She wasn't there. But I was like, wow, I actually haven't seen boobs in so long. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing to look at.
So exciting.
So exciting to see in the flesh. It is like seeing a C-list celebrity of like, what are you doing here?
Oh my God.
You come here?
Yeah.
It's yep. that.
Yeah.
But as we were walking in, I was with my friend Treya and just one of the most, you know, fervent displays of kindness that I've seen in a long time. And it was truly inspiring. Two girls were holding up one girl in the middle who was like, couldn't walk, obviously, like staggering out. And they pull her behind a car. She starts vomiting. And one says very loudly, like, no, baby, I don't have a hair tie. And we've already walked past them. And Treya hears this and goes, I think I do have a hair tie.
Oh.
She fishes it out. She turns around. She walks over. She hands it. She carries on. Not a word exchanged. We didn't even say anything to each other after that. We just kept walking.
Yeah,
Because of course. Isn't that powerful?
It is. It's such a powerful image. And that is us at our best. I think humanity at our best.
Yeah. And speaking of tough bitches, I mean, Charlie XCX literally said, are you bad girls or what? More than a few times.
Yeah, I believe that.
Like, LA, are you going to fucking party or what? Over and over. Or what?
So fun.
Or what?
Yeah.
Or what?
Better than what she was saying the night before, which was like, are you guys going to dance this music or what?
Yeah, or what? Yeah, that was bad. So the first night of her LA tour was allegedly industry types. And apparently it was dark-sided in that it was very quiet. No one was singing. No one was enjoying themselves.
No one was even like jumping.
Yeah, because my takeaway from last night was that was the best crowd I have ever been in.
LA can be so dicey.
It can be really dicey. And last night was really like, people were just so happy to be there. Like, she could have stood alone on that stage with a microphone and sang softly and they would have lost their minds.
Yeah.
Like, so grateful, the energy in the room. It didn't feel like mega churchy the way that Taylor did.
Yeah.
It more felt like, oh, here's a bunch of friends going to the same party together. This is our graduation party. It really felt like it was really special.
We're here to have fun.
We're here to have fun.
I love that.
I mean, I have thoughts.
Mm.
I think, look, we've said it before, but like seeing her at Coachella 2022 set the bar high.
Yeah.
And that was when she was in her like peak pop star era. She's now in a very like IDGAF era.
Yeah.
And it was a different type of performance. It was like seeing your friend do karaoke on Molly.
Totally.
And just like popping off.
Yeah.
But still like seeing your friend do karaoke, which, you know, you take it or leave it.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Completely. Is it worth 200? Yes. Is it worth 1,000? No, it's just not.
Yeah.
It's just not. But Troye Sivan, he gave it all. He left it all out there on that stage.
I have been in rooms with him before. He dated like a friend of a friend.
Oh, that's right.
And I regret not fostering that connection. Especially now.
Not thrusting yourself upon him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? Mostly what it was is him asking me about freelance writing. He was like, how is it these days? Like, tell me more.
Wow.
That really asked me a ton of questions about like what it's like to freelance.
That's a true testament to him because he is a freelancer
yeah.
in all respects.
Yeah.
No, what really impressed and surprised me, shocked me most, honestly, about him is how he has yet to grow out of his twinkness.
I know.
It's really hard for the twinks to keep it toy into the late 20s.
Yeah.
He is. Very thin.
Yeah.
I mean, I can show you some of my closest friends, biggest twinks in the world when we were in our early 20s. Now, gruff bears.
Yeah.
Huge gruff bears. Like, unrecognizable.
Of course, the body wants to change. The body's always changing.
Yeah. I think, and that's why twink is so, like, unfortunately fetishized, because it does denote youth most of the time.
Oh my God.
I know. Right. We don't need to go down that, but it's damsel territory when you think about it.
It really, really, really is. It really is. And actually, speaking of thick thighs.
We weren't speaking about it, but you took us there.
Well, we were speaking about big bodies. You were talking about big muscles, big gruff bodies.
Gruff bodies.
And I've got a gruffer.
You're the gruff for me?
Yeah. It's Paul Mescal.
I was going to say, what is that gay dating app? Is it Scruffies? No, Sniffies. Or Scruff.
Scruff.
I combine the two.
Yeah.
Scruff is like the Hinge and Sniffies is like nothing else.
Yeah. It's like not
nothing else.
Paul Mescal is straight by all accounts.
Okay.
So he's probably not on those apps, but he would do well if he decided to. He also could be bi. Who knows? We don't know.
We don't know.
He keeps his personal life personal, as we learn in this profile.
He seems to be like universally appealing.
Yeah, exactly. And we can never assume, really, anyone's sexuality, interests, lovers, who they're with. You know, we knew about Phoebe Bridgers, but now we know less. And I think we'll probably continue to know less. He makes a very good point here about that it does actually detract from someone's performance if you know everything about what they eat for breakfast.
And he's right.
And he's right.
It really does.
Right. He's right.
Who has that? Like, can you give me an example of someone you've known too much about?
Well, I feel
and watch them
that way about Nicole Kidman. I'm not watching a character on screen. I'm watching Nicole Kidman. It may be also just an oversaturation thing of that she's. I do not understand how she structures her years because how is she in every single thing that's coming out right now?
Oh my God,
she's in like five movies, two TV shows, one Netflix movie.
No, listen, an A24 movie is shooting in a 5-mile radius, and she sniffs it out like a bloodhound.
Yeah,
where is it?
I know. Get me in.
Yeah, if it's an old rich woman with a dark past or secret, she's on it.
She's on it. And I think it's because of that I just see Nicole Kidman. I'm not like, it's not fading away for me.
That's so interesting. You know what? I'm starting to feel that way about Jacob Elordi because of the Olivia Jade.
Yeah. We know too much. The mystique.
It's dissipating.
It's disappeared.
And it's also just like of all the gin joints in all the land.
Yeah.
You know, like judging on who A-list men choose, it really says a lot about them and it can endear them to you. Like when Chris Evans was with Jenny Slate,
yeah.
It was like, oh, that's so endearing.
Yeah.
Or, honestly, Brad with Jen and with Angelina, it was like, oh, I like it both ways. Yeah. I'll have it either way.
Yeah.
Serve it to me straight up or flip it over easy. I'll take it.
Yeah.
When you don't approve, mm-hmm. it suddenly becomes...
Or it's too obvious.
It's too obvious. Basic. It's too like, basic.
Oh, basic. A model.
Yes.
A French model.
No, and I tell me if that's not what Leo DiCaprio's undoing was, you know?
Yeah.
Why do you think he never got an Oscar? I think because he's like not that likable.
Yeah.
Just an eternal playboy. Kind of shallow.
Yeah. And it's only getting worse with age.
Oh my God. Well, with the Diddy component
I know.
It's like, what's going to come of that?
I don't know.
I think he will have been one of the celebrities to settle just out the gate. That get the lawyer on the phone, see where the prosecution's at, and just...
Yeah, he has unlimited money.
Nip that in the bud.
Yeah, let's throw as much money as we can at the issue.
Yeah.
But back to Paul.
Yes.
So we haven't done GQ in a minute.
No.
And I'm happy to be back here because I love a GQ profile. I really love one.
It's juicy and it's often very crisp.
Yeah.
Prose.
Very crisp.
They're not wasting words here.
No, and they allow voice in there. Oh. True voice.
And when will the others learn?
I know.
Voice is everything. Voice keeps us hooked.
Yes. It is. And this is the voice of a author, a journalist that I absolutely love, Gabriella Paella, who, I mean, has profiled Nicolas Cage, Jeremy Strong. She can read a man to filth in a way that I love, love, love.
Yeah, we really gobble it up.
Yeah. So she meets Paul and it's kind of all perfect. I found this profile to be the culmination of a bunch of things that have held my imagination in a big way. And I didn't even realize until I was reading where I was like, oh my God, oh my God, it's all here. It's all here. I mean, I think for most of you out there listening to this, your entree to Paul Mescal was most likely probably Normal People. Mm-hmm. Did you watch?
Yes.
Me too.
I devoured.
Yeah, I devoured.
And then I was just absolutely broken.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it ruined a lot of our...
I was also in a long distance relationship at the time, which wouldn't recommend for a number of reasons.
No, that's tough. That's really tough. It was powerful. And it was powerful in large part because of him, their chemistry. He knows how to be vulnerable. And we'll get into sort of the way that everyone describes him, which that I think plays a big part in his sort of special little cocktail that mm-hmm. he serves up to us in his career.
Yeah. He's someone who like vulnerability never undermines the masculinity.
Yeah.
Which is a delicate tightrope to walk.
It is. It is. And it'll be really interesting to see how that works in the new Gladiator movie, which he is starring in and is like sort of the biggest thing that he's ever been involved in. This is like the major blockbuster Ridley Scott follow up to Russell Crowe's Gladiator from 2000, which we've talked about on the pod as well.
When did we talk about that?
During the Taylor Swift profile where she said, are you not entertained?
Oh.
Yeah.
How could I forget?
How could you forget? How could you forget?
Are you not entertained?
Yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
That woman.
I know.
Never ceases to amaze.
Nope. If we just analyze the text, it's all there. So for many, I think Normal People is the entree. And I mean, he was nominated for a BAFTA, an Emmy after that. And then has been in a series of just like cool shit. Basically, after Son, he played a young father to like a sweet 11-year-old girl that was sort of tortured. The Lost Daughter, Maggie Gyllenhaal's directorial debut. And he was also in a movie with Andrew Scott where they played lovers. He's about to be in a movie with Josh O'Connor where they play lovers.
Okay, there's some projects that get greenlit that are just so shamelessly targeting the gays, tapping into one of the most rabid fan bases on the planet. It's like, who can we pair who's hot?
I know.
Who have these boys been fantasizing about?
I know. And I mean, that was very much
studio execs in a boardroom.
Yeah.
Just.
Yeah. I know. Typing away, doing the research. It's so true. And I will honestly watch anything that he's in, I feel. I'm like completely... I love him.
Mr. Mescal?
Yeah. Mr. Mescal, he's got me.
Okay.
He's got me. And I live for the paparazzi shots.
He is your crush, right?
Yes. He's one of my big recent crushes.
Who else is on the list?
Harrison Dickinson.
Harris Dickinson.
Fuck, can't never get it right. Harris Dickinson.
Is on your list.
Josh O'Connor.
Okay. You liked Baby Girl, right?
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
Okay.
Thought it was fun.
Lived up to the hype? Yay or nay?
It's also, I feel like, early for the hype.
Mm.
No reviews have come out yet. I'm curious.
You want to put a foot wrong here?
No. But I thought it was fun. Okay. I thought it was fun. And I thought he was really good. Honestly, in many ways, I sort of wish that the movie explained more of his perspective, because I found his to be like far very more interesting.
And you were just obviously distracted by Nicole's recent wig.
I was just like, here's Nicole.
In another wig.
And here we are with Nicole again.
Yeah.
In a big, big, beautiful house that she bought for herself.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. Which is completely fine. But the normal people of it all, I have to talk to you about something before we get into the profile, which is that this like comes at me at an interesting time. Sally Rooney's just released another book, Intermezzo. So I've been reading a lot of her interviews or just like people talking about the Sally Rooney effect and normal people and the legacy of all the shows and everything.
And she is Irish, right?
Yeah, she's Irish. And she is famously like not on social media, not involved in any way with the marketing of any of this. She just writes these books in her like little house in the Irish countryside and then releases them. But after Normal People, she has a clause now that she will not have any of her future works adapted to the screen.
What?
Yeah. She was just like, this was like not the intention. Like, very cool kind of experience. Pretty overwhelming. Don't want to ever do it again.
Why? Because of the press component?
Yeah. And she was just like, it was interesting to watch these characters that I invented in my head be like rendered on the screen, mm-hmm. but it's not an experience that I'm looking for again.
Whoa.
Too much noise, too much
frenzy. Noise. And I guess just that's stripped away from you.
Yeah.
It's like throw the baby out. The baby's gone. The baby's burned.
Yeah. Whoa. And I found that so fascinating, especially because she is someone that I think if Hollywood was given the permission to, they would adapt absolutely every single one of her works.
Yeah,
they've all done so well. People are obsessed with the books. People who don't read her books.
Well, Conversations with Friends didn't do very well, did it?
No, but it was still talked about.
Right.
Like, it didn't do it critically, I don't think, was much of anything.
Yeah. But Normal People was a smash.
It was a smash. It was.
And it put two young stars on the map.
I know. And now both of them really are, I think, primed to take over. I mean, people are talking about her as the next Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
But a little different. But I like her.
Yeah. I like, I don't know. I really struggle with her accent sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see the, what did you call it?
The Crawdaddies.
Where the Crawdaddies.
Scroll. Where the Crawdaddies crawl.
Yeah, where the Crawdaddies crawl.
Yeah, the patchy southern accent, Twisters as well.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see that either. I guess I haven't seen her in anything. Me, like, I liked her outfit that other day.
Yeah.
But
Paul has your heart.
Yeah. And I feel ready to dive in. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. So, the headline.
Oh, do you want to say this came out literally last week?
Oh, my God. This came out last week.
Yeah.
This came out 2 days ago.
This is, like, the freshest profile we've ever done.
Yeah, that's maybe. Actually so crazy. Yeah. It is. It is. But we were missing a boy.
We've been missing a boy for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little boy toy.
We've done a lot of ladies.
Yeah. Yeah. Throughout history.
And our boys have been kind of problematic as they
I know.
Have a penchant to do.
I know. And here I feel good.
Yeah.
I feel held.
Wholesome boy.
Yeah. Very wholesome boy. So the headline reads, Paul Mescal enters the arena in Gladiator 2. The shorts get shorter. The roles get bolder. The fans grow even more ravenous. Now, Paul Mescal is trading indie tears for blockbuster blood as the centerpiece of Ridley Scott's Gladiator 2. So, Gabriella meets him, of course, at a park. The description is lovely.
The London setting.
Yeah, it opens. On a midsummer evening in London's Victoria Park, the sun is expending its final burst of energy. The emerald lawn stretches as far as the eye can see, an oasis of green in the city. A vision of, ah, shit, it's starting to rain. Paul Mescal is unfazed. He guides us under a sturdy tree where a canopy of leaves protects us from the worsening showers. The air thick with petrichor.
Yeah, I had to look up that word.
I didn't
That felt like someone synonymed their way there.
Petrichor.
Petrichor.
Petrichor. Oh, petrichor.
Where it's like the transition, right?
From summer. It's the smell after first rain.
That's right.
Yeah. Which I see on those lists of people being like, bet you didn't know about this word.
Yes. It's like word of the
sublime.
Day word. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's another word in here that she uses that I again was like, oh, sanguine.
Sanguine.
That I was like, okay, I feel like the thesaurus was cracked open.
And I mean, honestly, petrichor, I feel like here is used perfectly, mm-hmm. which it really bothers me when people crack open the thesaurus and then use the word in a way that like no human has ever used it
yes.
in a sentence
yep.
that way. It's like, you're not wearing this comfortably. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
But here, I mean, I like it. I live for it. Mescal, reigning king of earthy and emotional heartthrobs, lounges out on the grass like some kind of impressionist painting. Very rarely in life does it crystallize in the moment that a not insignificant number of people would kill, I mean, commit actual murder to be in your shoes. So true.
I mean, I guess that this profile has to be kind of horny. Like, yeah. Given who he is and the effects that he has on the culture.
Yeah.
Like, she has to call it out top that he's hot, which yeah. is what she's doing right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, 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 of course. Of, like, imagine this scene. You're yeah. being protected like from a the rain. From the rain.
With Paul Mescal.
By one Paul Mescal, mm-hmm. who's under their white t-shirt wet.
No, it would have some, if you were single, I feel like, or maybe not, even in a relationship, it would have some kind of effect.
Of course.
Yeah.
She describes his outfit, which I feel like is very GQ. He's wearing full-length jeans, a salmon Patagonia long-sleeve shirt, and black Adidas Sambas. He has a soft mullet haircut, shaggy facial hair, heavy lidded blue eyes, and a nose that could not be more Roman if it were wearing a toga and refusing to pick up its city's trash.
Yeah.
He's perfectly cast, I feel like, in a Gladiator movie. He actually does have a gruffness, which I feel like we would not believe Jacob Elordi if he was cast in a Gladiator movie.
I know. It does feel like you have to import these men, though. Like, American men just don't resonate.
No.
I don't know why. But, like, the Russell Crowe, it's like, it does feel like it needs to be a man raised out of the vicinity of, like, a Waffle House.
Oh, my God.
What? Are you okay? That was such a visceral reaction.
No, I mean, I think you've taken America and you've put us down. You've put us down to the ground.
I'm so sorry. But
no,
like, you need
have nothing
a man
to apologize for.
You need a man who's obviously touched grass.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And he, in getting this role in Gladiator, apparently, like, got on the phone with Ridley Scott and was just like, I was the captain of the
rugby team.
Like, I promised you, like, I could take it on. Like, I was on the rugby team. And, like, you can tell he was on the rugby team.
Yeah, you can. And also, like, only men who wear shorts that short have been on the rugby team. Like, those yeah. boys are in Daisy Dukes. I don't know if you've seen a scrum.
Yeah.
But face down, ass up.
Yeah.
In yeah. tiny, tiny mini shorts.
It's so true. And they're not afraid to touch each other. There is a real comfort with one's body that comes from sports.
And comfort with other people's bodies, too.
So true.
Yeah.
Do you think it makes them better lovers? Not that we're going to assume anything of Paul here, but just in general.
Like, aggressive athletes, or what do
yeah.
you think?
Yeah.
No, I think it's like a hard pumping situation, if I'm being totally honest
yeah.
with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Totally.
You have to be like, dude, take a breath.
Yeah.
Like, this is not rough and tumble out on the field.
It's so true. I wonder what profession is the best lover. Maybe dancers.
I was thinking that last night watching Troy's boys just send it. I yeah. was like, wow, the writhing about, like, mm-hmm. you guys are doing something here.
Yeah.
The best, that's the best question you've ever asked.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
Thank you so
do
much.
Do you do this for a living?
Maybe. Could be.
The best profession for lovers.
And I think it would probably shock us, the actual answer. I think it would, you know.
Yeah. I think the instinct is like a musician, like someone that's like very romantic and like emotionally connected.
Yeah.
But in reality, I mean
it really could be like construction workers.
Yeah. No, literally, it's like
those boys are pounding you into the night.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, no, there is something about like a gruff hand.
Yeah.
There's something about like a hand
mm-hmm.
That has performed manual labor.
Yeah.
That you're like, okay, well, there's something going on here. You know, the delicate fingers of a man who strokes a keyboard every day doesn't have quite the same effect.
No, maybe drummers. Or maybe that's just what we all want to believe.
Oh, I think you may have cracked it with a drummer. I mean, look at them. Look at fucking Tommy Lee.
Yeah.
And his roster.
Yeah.
Travis Barker.
Yeah.
And his roster. I mean, these guys are securing some of the most beautiful women in the world. And there's a good reason, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Whatever Jessica Simpson was doing in that bedroom, I want to know.
Yeah.
Sexual napalm. John Mayer, remember?
Yeah, so true.
And Nick Lachey, too, was, I think, said something similar about her.
Mm.
But no, that's a great question.
We shamed her for that, for being an incredible lover. That society was like, how embarrassing. It's like, are you joking?
Are you
absolutely joking?
I mean, come on. No greater compliment.
No, not in this world.
I know.
I have to tell you something.
What?
My dandruff is back in a big way.
No.
I know. I don't know what to do.
Okay, well, I have something to share with you that may help. Do you remember when my dandruff came back and I tried everything but using a dandruff product? Like, I even got those, like, towel headband things to wash my face because I assumed it was my cleanser. Like, I just did everything but go to the source, which is, I gotta say, Noumi's Dandruff Defense. Dude, it is so good. It's light. It's like you leave, your hair is clean, but it doesn't feel weighed down the way that some shampoos and conditioners does. But it also doesn't strip it of its natural oils. I understand that's a lot for it to achieve, but it really pulls it off.
No, and I have heard that to get rid of dandruff, it has to be antibacterial, antifungal. And I know those words obviously don't sound sexy, but the results certainly are.
No, it's incredible. I mean, this dandruff shampoo and conditioner are packed with amino acids. They enhance shine, protect hair from all environmental stresses, which is so clutch, especially if you live in like a very, very dry environment. You kind of just need, summer sun, winter cold, you name it. You just kind of need that extra help. And it has just like the formula is amazing. It is lightweight. It doesn't like bog your hair down, but at the same time, it's shiny, voluminous. It is incredible. There's argan and tea tree oil that soothes the scalp. You know, it's scalp first all the way. Everything starts with the scalp.
Everything when I tell you. Okay, how do I get it? I need it.
Okay, you can go straight to NoumiHair.com. That's NoumiHair.com. And if you want a little discount, put the code UNCOVER at checkout. That's UNCOVER, UNCOVER at checkout for 15% off. And honestly, Ivana, while you're there, I know I'm keeping you for so long, but their hair straightener, $100 and incredible, the best one I've ever used. And I've used a lot. As you know, my hair is perpetually straight. I will not live any other way. So I cannot recommend this brand enough. I absolutely love it. And the product itself, Dandruff Defense shampoo and conditioner, dude, you got to get on it immediately.
Okay, it's time to be flake-free. I'm ready to go.
NoumiHair.com, 15% off with the code UNCOVER. Get on it, baby. Flake-free.
Okay, but we're back to Mescal. Okay. We're back to him. So right now, where we're catching him, he's 28. I love the way she describes him here, where as like he is one of the finest actors of his generation. She writes, in my estimation, he's the most naturalistic. He possesses a very rare and specific brand of masculinity, both solid, thanks in part to years playing Gaelic football, and vulnerable. He cries beautifully. And he does.
He really does.
Yeah. Big, ugly, unselfconscious tears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's never the ick. Like, it's never...
No.
That kind of crying.
No.
It's never damsel crying.
No. And it's so funny. You know, on the internet, of course, I think a lot of the characters that he's played, she writes, has been summed up as, quote, sad and sexy, which he finds funny. He was like, these people are wounded and adrift and struggling. And
like, who's watching and thinking, so sexy?
That's so sexy. But I think a lot of people are.
No, this was the real pullout for me, is when she goes on to write that it's jarring to realize that he is technically younger than Timothée Chalamet.
I know.
Talk about a twink who's held on to that. You're not going to pry that out of his bony little hands.
No, you won't. You won't. And he could not believably play the father of an 11-year-old child.
No, the way that Paul has.
We would be laughing if, yes, Timothy was like, meet my daughter.
I don't know if you've seen Andrea. The new photos of him hooking up with Gwyneth Paltrow.
I did, yeah. Movie. On the street. Yeah.
How did you feel about that?
Strange. I also did find it very funny that the page 6 of it was like, Timothy and Gwyneth caught kissing. And it's like, they're obviously in costume and there are cameras all around them. What are you talking about?
That literally in 1920s drag. Yeah. Full period outfit.
He has like a mustache. I know. It's, what?
I know. But the fact that the 23-year age gap, I think we would be decrying it if it were,
yeah,
the gender reversal.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
23 years.
That's a lot, I guess.
You came out of the womb when the other person was 23.
Oh, that is. That's significant.
That's not us with Sean.
No.
That's not us.
No. Just a couple years between us.
We're so close now.
I know.
Wait till we are all in our 30s. Then we're fully free.
Then yeah. Then there's no shame to be had.
And we're all married.
Yeah. Yeah, all 5 of us. I mean, and I agree. I think that also... he plays older and he's handsome, Gabriella writes, in a way that your most handsome friend is handsome.
Yeah.
And it's true. It's not that beautiful, beautiful boy. That's
no.
It is relatable. There's something real and honest and true and like very human.
And like likable. And I think that that lies in the kind of anti-Christian Bale of it all. Daniel Day-Lewis of it all. Like a director here is quoted saying some actors can be so tortured and he's not tortured. He kind of has like a curiosity rather than doing this painful investigation, which is like become kind of par for the course for a lot of male actors. Like if you're not living it, you're not portraying it. Like if you're not in the woods for however long, then like how are you even performing your craft? And like that is not him. And I love how she talks about this here. She was like, it's easy to describe him by saying what he is not. He is not tormented by fame. He is not trying to prove how smart he is. He is not on some kind of oily charm offensive. He possesses neither arrogance nor false humility. In short, a cool guy, a good hang.
I love that bit because I feel like this is so often missing from the profiles where you're like, so what are they actually like? She sort of calls out here. I feel like it's like you can almost name the people that are on an oily charm offensive.
Oh, yes.
Name the people who are trying to prove how smart they are. Mm-hmm. Name the people who are like tormented and, you know, these.
You know who I just heard incredible things about to the contrary? Yeah. It's Glenn Powell. Apparently so amazing, so smart. A friend of mine sat with, I guess, like the head of Paramount, and he was like, that's a good guy. That is one of the nicest guys I've met in this business. And didn't we say it? Didn't we call it?
Yeah. Yeah. Seems normal.
Very.
Yeah.
In the same way that Paul does too. And handling fame with the same kind of grace and like, ah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Shrug of the shoulders.
But also I think another area where they both share is saying like, I want to hold on to this. I want this. Mm. This isn't something where I'm just on the back foot of like, I can't believe this happened. And who knows? And I'm just grateful.
Yeah.
They're like, I wanted this and I want this.
And I think for that reason, neither of them will denounce the fame.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, what am I going to do? Like finally get roles that people watch and turn around and say, actually, I don't want to be watched.
Yes, exactly.
They're just like, that's what comes with it.
Yeah. And Gabrielle has actually interviewed him before in 2020. And this was in like a totally different stage of his life. He was 24 and newly famous. This was all over Zoom. And he was on like a multi-month press cycle around the show.
Normal people.
Yeah, normal people. And a lot can change, I think, especially in the ages 24 to 28. And she sort of talks about like then he seemed to be chafing under the new visibility and now
of fame. Yeah.
Yeah, fame. And now like he has settled in a way.
I mean, it's interesting, like the way he talks about being a workaholic here. Yeah. He just wants to work, period, which is actually amazing. Like the success he's had as someone who is not based out here and is from another country. While we're on the topic of work ethic, she writes, he brings up something else. Maybe my toxic trait is I don't believe in work at home Friday.
I know.
Okay.
Him supporting return to office culture.
My agent refers to me openly as a psychopath when it comes to work. He says, I feel an intense desire to have this forever. This being the opportunity, the success, the artistic freedom. I never want this to stop. So with that comes a kind of neuroses of control.
Honestly, I get it.
I get it. I get it. And it must be so scary to know you're at a peak. You're at a peak and nothing can stay. Nothing can stay like this.
I know. I know. And he also is not someone who I think has the luxury of being cool totally with like selling out and doing some random bullshit that he doesn't care about. He's picked all of his projects carefully and wisely. Mm-hmm. Which is also tough. And she brings up the fact that, like, you're not going to get anything on him. Like, there's no failed sitcom that he starred, Disney Channel something. There's no weird, like, Hallmark movie that he was in before this. He went to Trinity College, studied theater there, and, like, basically got an agent before he graduated. And started in theater, did theater. Mm. You know, even his, like, early reviews of plays he was in, they were, like, magnetic on the screen, like on the stage.
Right.
And then he's really only done things that I think he would stand by in 10 years.
Completely. And like Gladiator is him stepping into a new arena, no pun intended.
Yeah.
He was like, because now what I've been doing is like the artsy indie beautifully written, artistically crafted film. And now I'm doing the blockbuster.
Yeah.
And that has also kind of brought him to a new audience. He's like, bros will come up to me and be like, can't wait for Gladiator, giving him this kind of handshake hug situation. And he's like, I'm an honorary bro now. And I have seen that in person. The effect it had on Chris in the cinema when we saw that trailer. I can't wait for this. And I'm like, thinking about the Roman Empire, like how often do you think about the Roman Empire? Them vicariously putting themselves in the position of, oh my God, what if I was forced to fight because I don't have to anymore?
But what if I was amazing at it?
And what if I was amazing at it?
That's what it is.
What if I was the best fighter there ever was?
I know. What if I'm actually the strongest man in this room?
And that's the thing. It's like men of a certain age like get so into World War II. Like there's this whole thing and it's because we don't have battles for them to win daily. It's a fantasy land.
Yeah.
And yeah, and what if I was amazing at it? I mean, I have like walked past those pull-up challenges and you will not believe. Like the men are practically like salivating. Yeah. They're like chomping watching to be like, could I do it? Could I do it?
Do you know how there's that thing of like every story can be boiled down to like man versus man versus self, man versus nature. It's like every single story from the beginning of time falls under one of those three categories.
Okay, so what are you putting Sex and the City in?
Man versus nature. For sure. And man versus self when you're talking about Carrie.
Oh, that's man versus self.
Yeah, that's
big man versus.
Yeah.
Big.
Exactly as you said, like this is his first big blockbuster. And it's Ridley Scott, which is like a very big deal. And I was really touched by, of course, Scott is quoted here. And he describes Mescal as very nice, very sweet, very straightforward. He also just trusted him sort of from the beginning, even though he's not a big blockbuster name. Like there are much bigger names he could have cast.
Yeah. And that like famously doesn't scare Ridley Scott. He talks about that. Brad Pitt hadn't done a movie when he did Thelma and Louise with him. Sigourney Weaver hadn't done a movie when Ridley Scott did Alien with her. And so he's like happy to take a chance. And this film is going to pair Paul Mescal with Denzel Washington, which is like, that's another echelon of movie stardom.
Yeah, like legendary movie star. Mm-hmm. And Paul Mescal was understandably very nervous to be acting alongside Denzel.
Yeah.
But managed to get out of his own little way. Where it was just like, yeah, obviously I was freaking out. A lot of it was filmed in Morocco and then Malta, which is also where the original was filmed. And the first day he walked onto set, which of course Ridley Scott
built like, a Colosseum
to scale. Yeah, he built a Colosseum.
That's built a Colosseum to scale.
Can you imagine?
Oh my God.
I know. So yeah, I mean, and
what's the budget on that film?
$250 million.
Okay.
Yeah. So he walks into the Colosseum and Ridley Scott's like, just remember your nerves are no good to me. And he is aware of sort of the weight of this, but then pushes forward and it's just like, actually I have a job to do. I can't just be nervous because Denzel is on set right now and I'm off and away.
Denzel's like, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like, and that's like high praise. I mean, also like hats off to Gabriella here, getting Denzel Washington as a secondary source.
I know, truly. And apparently the second one is like very, very intense. Like the fight scenes are really hardcore.
So she reviews it here kind of. Yeah. And is like,
gives us a little taste
and says, I spent most of the movie like wincing, which we already know. Now I can't see it.
Yeah.
From that. Done. Yeah. That's it for me.
Yeah.
And it's like the fight scenes are very, very explicit. It sounds like it's very, very violent, much more so than the original. There are sprawling battle sequences, yes, but also scrappy combat. I just like love this quote about him being like, the fact that we had to shoot this in the peak of summer and I'm a pasty Irish boy in armor covered in fake tan and sweat rolling around. Like, that's the cutest quote in the world.
I know.
And he says those fights were intense.
Yeah, I believe it. And I think it's interesting because it does work as like a wolf in sheep's clothing in that the Gladiator movie is also very like emotionally intense. It's like deals with issues of life and death. And, you know, it got a lot of men in the theater who then were having an emotional experience watching it for the first time. And people talked about, I can't remember where it said, but it's like, this was the first time I ever cried as an adult man.
Yes. Yes.
It's like, what?
Gabriella says her colleague at GQ said that.
Yeah. 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 That's
and then Mescal describes it as a wolf in sheep's clothing. Yeah. Or, to use another empire, a Trojan horse.
Yes, Yeah.
That's Troy. That's Troy.
Yeah, that's Troy.
That's where
which
the,
is
yeah.
too sexy for men to
too,
watch.
Too, that's too sexy. They it's, need. They don't have that. They don't get to watch that.
Yeah, that's for us.
Troy's for us. But he's like, you're allowed to watch it and still feel very masque and macho about it. But actually the reason that the film works is that it's an action drama. It's got real pathos to it. And all the violence is motivated by somebody's love and betrayal.
Yeah, that's so true. And he plays Lucius.
Lucius.
Who's like scrappy and like no ego, no pride.
Mm-hmm.
And fun. I feel like we're always getting like ego drunk kings whenever we're doing like a movie that harkens back to this time.
Yeah. And he has to shout out Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
He's got the party line here. So diplomatic.
Yeah.
He's like, I think it's also a mistake when people go, this was Russell's thing about Gladiator. Russell has proven himself time and time again, and he's proven himself time and time again after Gladiator. An amazing career like Russell had wasn't just built by Gladiator.
Beautifully done.
Beautifully done, because the comparisons are going to come in thick and fast.
For sure. Like, who did it better? Who did it worse? What happens? You know. His mom, Lucia, she's come back. She was in the original Gladiator. She's come back. And she compares him to Joaquin Phoenix, which I think is a really apt comparison.
Yeah, it's a good comparison.
Yeah, I'm just like, I can't stop watching you. There's something about you. It feels like unexpected and vulnerable. And just intense.
Yeah. And when he saw it for the first time, I think he was really nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, it reminds me of those, have you seen the lip reading clips about after the Joker?
Yeah.
Basically they see it for the first time and they're both like, that was so bad. And so he was, you know, justifiably nervous going into the screening, and then came out being like, all right, I actually believe myself in that role.
Pulled it off.
Which is like, honestly, all you can hope in a $250 million movie.
I know. And a period piece, I feel like it's tough to pull off. She sort of goes into, you know, the rain lets up. They're now walking along the canal. And she talks about how many people they're walking past that look just like him.
Yeah. Literally clones.
Yeah, look alike.
All wearing like tiny little shorts with the little raggedy mullets.
Yeah, it's true. And I really do think he's influenced men in a crazy way where they're like, people are walking around like, this is what women want.
Yeah. And I mean, I kind of not wrong. Like, I love to see a short inseam on a man.
I know. His sister Nell texts him saying, the shorts epidemic that you've caused, the bollocks.
I know. She's also a singer-songwriter, which I found kind of weird.
And they're very close.
Well, yeah, because he only dates singer-songwriters.
Yeah.
Think about it.
That's true. Is he with confirmed Gracie Abrams right now?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Another singer-songwriter.
Yeah. That's true.
Don't you find that strange when people like go for people like their siblings?
I feel like that's tough though. It's just like, if it's a creative household, I think they were always going to be in the arts in some way. And how many artistic things can you pursue really? Like, it's like, was his sister going to be a ceramics artist? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like actor.
Wait, what? I'm looking at it from the vantage point of him dating someone exactly like his sister, not his sister becoming like his girlfriends.
Well, I'm looking at it, it's like his dad was an actor.
Yeah.
And then became a teacher. His mom was a police officer. And him and his sister are like both creative. And it feels like, how many creative pursuits can you have? And I don't think like singer-songwriters are different.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about the fact that he dates women who are like his little sister.
But I think that's way too much of a reach. I think that it's like, I'm saying that him and his sister are both creative.
Yeah.
And so it's like, are all artists.
But are you saying that he has no choice but to date another creative, and like, how many creatives are there?
Yes.
So he has to date a singer.
Exactly. Yes. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Okay, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, if he's going to date another creative, which I think he would, I would be like shocked to learn that he's with like someone in accounting.
You're basically saying that like singer-songwriters are so a dime a dozen that you can't make a reach.
Yeah. We find what is familiar to us.
Birds of a feather.
Yeah, exactly. His background also, this one hit me. He went to school in Ireland, where college is not $400,000 as it is here. His college was like $10,000, and he doesn't understand how one could start a career $200,000 in debt and expect to have any artistic integrity. That's the quote.
Like, when someone turns around and goes, you can do this terribly written piece of work, but it's going to pay off your college debt. Like, you're going to do it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're shackled. And he talked about his sort of beginning in the theater world. He was in a production of The Great Gatsby, and that led to Normal People. He was in Aftersun, and after he saw it at Cannes, he said that he bawled for a solid 3 to 4 minutes because that was the kind of thing he set out to do from the start. He said, a film like that.
Oh, so cute.
It's so sweet.
No, and then, I mean, they're walking down the canals and people are like really noticing him. Like at this point, he is like famous with a capital F, stopping him and saying, like, I love all your work, listing his projects in chronological order, taking selfies. Like, a runner passes them and is like, you should see everyone's reaction as you go by. And it's just, and then even like when they transition, they go to a hotel the next day and like a hush falls over the room as soon as he walks in.
Yeah, people stop talking. Like, people like can't continue on their stories as he arrives, which I would be the same. I would be, and I've seen him. I've seen him out in the wild. I've seen him in Larchmont holding Phoebe Bridgers' dog. Yes.
Wow, you're really holding out on us with that
one. I know. I've seen him and he looked amazing. He was in a little short and holding her little pug.
Do you know who I see in Larchmont 24/7?
Who?
Well, I've seen a few. I've seen Conan O'Brien.
I've seen Alec Baldwin.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I see Schmidt. Every weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Every weekend.
Of course. Girl dad.
Extraordinaire.
I know.
And he's always looking like so grumpy and over it.
I believe that. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's hard.
Raising children.
Yeah. Oh, my yes, lord. Mama. My lord.
Like, and him trying to maintain his privacy has become tough.
Yeah.
He's photographed anywhere he goes out. Glastonbury. Oh, yeah. Do you remember the Coke scandal? Of him doing Coke at Glastonbury this year? And everyone's like, he's out at a festival doing drugs.
Oh, my
and
God.
It's like, oh, babe.
Hush up.
Come on. But Gabriella writes that his romantic life is a source of frenzied speculation. He was photographed smoking cigarettes with a newly divorced Natalie Portman.
Yeah, those
in May.
Was a shot heard around the world.
Oh, yes. And then, of course, very public courtship with musician Phoebe Bridgers.
Yeah.
And now there's Gracie Abrams. Lots of paparazzi of them shopping and canoodling and holding hands and snuggling.
What is the deal with her always needing to lift up her shirt? When she have you seen that?
I think it's her rock hard abs
that she.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, but it's like it's kind of crazy. Like
it's constant.
Yeah, and like she's just like lifting, and it's not even like that. The shirt is a crop top. Like wear a crop top, but it's like she's wearing a normal size shirt, and then she just like is lifting it up.
No,
and like has a hand tucked.
Charlie is doing the same. Charlie's doing the same at all times. I feel like it's when you're feeling like particularly skinty.
Yeah,
you're like, well, I must.
Show.
I must document this in case everything changes. Everything falls apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Take my photo. And her abs are crazy, admittedly. Absolutely.
They're the craziest I think I've seen ever.
Because it is like a full six pack.
Yeah, I know. A comedian said it and I will butcher it. Maybe it was Mary Beth Barone, but was like, what is it about Nepo babies always having the flattest stomachs in the world?
No, I
know. And it's like, it's true.
I know.
And it's always the Nepo.
It is.
The Kaias.
The Kaias.
I mean, even Gracie Dakota Abrams, Johnson. The Dakota Johnsons. The Kendall Jenners.
Yeah.
It's really wild. I mean, I guess two rights make a right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. That is true. And access to just
anything they need in the world.
Mm-hmm. And this is where he brings up, it's an intentional choice for him to keep his personal life personal because it affects you, the audience, you, the listener. When we know too much.
I've learned there's certain lines in the sand for me now that are just going to be impenetrable for the benefit of my own sanity, but also the benefit of my work. Because I think if you don't have those boundaries up in terms of lines in the sand in regards to your private life, people know way too much about you and they can't invest in the imagined landscape of your character because they know what your favorite thing to eat for breakfast is.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm not like entertaining any of the speculation. I'm not comfortable inviting any access into that part of my life. How I am in my private life is so precious to me because I get very little of it. And it might be public interest, but it's not public obligated information. That's a really good distinction. It might be public interest.
Yeah.
But it's not a public obligation.
No.
For me to share my love life.
And we often forget that people, we are not.
Entitled
to that information.
But we feel like
we feel like we are. We do. And I think that also the inclusion of this
Can
here.
Can you imagine? Okay, alternate universe, you and Steve are not married. You start dating Shawn Mendes. And then it is mystery brunette with Shawn Mendes identified. freelance writer, once employed by Vogue for 12 months.
Yeah.
Incredible. Imagine them trying to define you.
Yeah, I would be their worst nightmare because it wouldn't make any sense.
A contract copywriter.
Yes. Has done a number of brand activations. Oh my God, devastating to think about.
Don't even think about it.
No.
Don't even go there.
No, terrible, terrible.
That's why actress model just sounds so right.
And musician.
Yeah.
It's like there are no other choices. You have no other choices. Everything else is too complicated to
define. Yeah, exactly.
Even Amal Clooney, we struggle with. We're like, lawyer.
But
good.
But hot?
Hot lawyer.
Hot lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And philanthropist.
So right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, brand strategist, marketing lead at contemporary woman's fashion brand.
Ridiculous.
No.
Yeah.
Can't be done.
No, it can't be done. But I think that also the way that he's talking about this here and the way that she's writing about it suggests that none of this that transpired between them was like insufferable in any way. Because you and I have both been in situations, everyone's been in situations where they're like, I'm actually not going to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is...
It's hard to read. It's hard to have in the moment that conversation. It's just, it's lovely when it's approached with some sort of analysis like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Like instead of just shutting it down, like my private life is private, which we've heard a million times. It's so nice to hear like, I understand why it's interesting. That makes all the sense in the world to me. However, I know from a practical standpoint with my profession that it doesn't bode well. And that's that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like, get away, like blocking out the paparazzi's flashes, like don't look at me. It's like actually thoughtful,
and it's also not too in the weeds of this has been hell for me. He obviously, she writes, might not love fame, or he definitely does not love it,
yeah,
but he's learned to be more outwardly sanguine,
which is like serene, right?
Sanguine
means like mellow.
Yeah, I think so.
It's just the ties to blood that always shakes me up.
I know.
Should I look it
up? Yeah, look it up. Look it up. I have petrichor pulled up already.
I mean, we want to make people feel like they're getting smarter by listening to
us. Yeah, exactly. We might as well confirm.
Optimistic or positive, especially in an apparently bad or difficult situation. Hopeful, buoyant.
Oh,
okay.
Nice. I like that.
Why is it so blood to me?
No, I think it's because, is it?
Why is sanguine blood? There you go.
Wait, why?
Derived from the Latin term sanguis, meaning blood. Sanguine is an earliest usage, described a concept from ancient and medieval physiology.
Oh, because one of the other definitions is a blood red color.
Okay, love.
So if you're describing a sanguine dress.
We're in it. We're back in it.
Not an optimistic, positive, hopeful dress.
Mm-hmm. Very red for the winter. Trending color.
Yeah, right now. Totally. It's like, it's thoughtful. It's just all thoughtful, which is nice.
I mean, he's nervous though. Like, we can't like underplay how big Gladier is going to be. It's going to shoot him into another stratosphere. And he was like, it's the biggest thing I've done in terms of a public facing responsibility. He's under kind of no pretension, no guise that this is a movie that the studio fucking wants people to see.
Yeah.
And that's really intimidating.
And it also, when you have these big behemoths, it does matter sort of what your reputation is as the star of it.
Yes.
So she brings up here, thank God, mercifully, which is something we've talked about, a rumor that you and I have perpetuated.
Mm-hmm.
The TikTok videos about Mescal going on one night stands, then taking them for a walk and then running away. And so he was like, there's no truth to that at all. This is crazy. And like when it first came up, him and his siblings were all laughing. But his mom was like, but that's horrible.
I will say I've known men to take a woman to the same breakfast spot every Sunday morning, a new girl. But the place never changed.
Yeah.
They had their routine. They had their routine. Yeah. What are they going to do? Mix it up?
So true. Find a new... I mean, honestly, I struggle to find new restaurants all the time. So yeah, he also seems to be able to hold some of that stuff at an arm's distance where he's not like... trying to set the record straight. He's like, I find this funny. There's no truth to it. But like, what am I to do? Like, these are just the things that happen when someone is famous.
And he's shooting a film right now, which I didn't know, with Richard Linklater, who directed Boyhood.
I know.
Before Sunrise. It's a film that takes place over 20 years, a 20-year stretch. So the characters are going to age in real life as the actors do. And this brings up a conversation about death. which we rarely get in profiles. He's like, I have never foreseen that I would live a long life. And she's quite like, you can tell she's like freaked out by this revelation. She actually inserts herself here for the first time in italics and was like, you seem strangely comfortable with this idea. And he says, I'm also afraid of death. So I think if death was to come for me at 55, I'd be as equally afraid of it as I would be at 90. And then she chimes in, I don't think anyone's ever ready.
And she asks, where did that gut feeling come from that he would live a short life?
Yeah.
And he says, it's always in my head. I was like, going to have a family young. I'm not going to survive a long time. Hopefully I'm wrong. I think I will be wrong. But that's just the truth around my brain.
I know.
I know a lot of people who feel like this, actually.
They're not going to live long.
Yeah. That they're like, I think my days are numbered.
I don't know. So for me, there's a terminal uniqueness component there. There's a Marilyn.
Yeah.
Like little effect happening.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, I'm not destined long for this world. Bye.
You'll miss me.
Yeah.
I just also feel, and this is no judgment to Paul. This is just, I think, like, I don't know. I feel like randomly it's come up to a few. I don't know if it's that it's Halloween and, you know, death is upon us, but people talking about that they're afraid of death. And I really do in my bones feel like it just feels like a waste of time to me to be afraid of it. Because, and I'm sure when it's on your doorstep, it's a totally different story. But I just feel like I spent so much of my youth lying in bed, completely petrified of a home intruder.
Yeah.
Of a home intruder that I was like, oh my God, someone's broken into the house. Like I would like wake up when I was little and be so afraid because I swear that I heard something fall, a door. And I would like literally work myself up into a total panic.
Mm.
And the only time my house has been broken into, I was laughing hysterically in the other room. The other guys was on. And like a man was like breaking into my home the entire time that was happening.
Was that where, in Chicago?
In the pandemic. No.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
In LA?
In LA, in Silver Lake.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was crazy. The way we found out was that we were all smoking weed. Sorry, everyone.
Sorry.
Yep. Drug user here.
Legal in state of California.
Exactly. Smoking weed. And we heard this like banging on the door and we were like, oh my God, police are here to arrest us for smoking weed. And then we opened the door and it was like five police officers. And we were like, hi.
Wow.
And they were like, is someone here that shouldn't be here? And I was like, no.
You and I talk about this so much. I think, yeah, fear feels like a waste of time just regardless. Yeah. Like whatever it may be.
It's like I didn't hear it. Like the hypervigilance didn't save me in the end. It wasn't like, oh my God, I'm so glad that I've always been afraid of it because it finally happened.
Hypochondria as well.
Yeah.
It's like that's not making you any healthier.
No.
Worrying about what's going on within.
No. And I know that so much of this is like hilariously, we can't control it. It's just like our brains.
Mm-hmm.
It's man v man.
Yeah.
It's man v self. It's like our brains tormenting us at every turn.
I know. I sometimes do spiral in ways that I don't expect though. Like I was walking down the street today and this guy like hollered at me. It was like, hello, hello, miss, like hello. And then as soon as I chose to shoot that evil look, I then just really spiraled about like, wait, that guy saw me coming out of my house. Wait, he now knows where I live. Like, it's like, it's that.
Yeah.
But it's like, it doesn't stay with you long. You just have to let it wash over, it feels like.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was called Snow White yesterday at the gas station in Inglewood by a group of black men. And I thought, you know what? I'll take that.
Oh my God. Just in the context of like.
Saying that. Did anyone see that Snow White right there? Did anyone see Snow White?
That's
sweet.
I was
like, I don't really fit the description, but I'll have it.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Then being like, all those white women look the same.
so true. Red hair, black hair.
Cinderella, Snow White. They're all the same. Yeah.
That's so true. But it does seem like he's not really tormented here about his premonition of an early death.
Yeah, he knows he's in his prime, she writes, and that people have an appetite to watch him work and that one day that might not be the case. So he has to seize it all now. I'm enjoying it so much right now that I don't want it to not be like this, he says. The fear almost seems just like that it's going
to
end.
Yeah. She writes, I boil down the emotion to its simplest form. When you're happy, when things are good, there's an undercurrent of melancholy because you realize life can't stay this way forever. His eyes light up. He gets excited. Yeah. But weirdly, in a professional context, it can. It can, Mescal says. It's rare, but yeah, he exhales. I desperately want it to. I believe him.
Yeah. I don't know if it can. I think everything has to ebb and flow. I think he's a little bit naive in thinking that it's just going to be an upward incline
forever. It also continues to change over time. Like, you know, I think of like Judy Garland's career, where at the beginning there was so much promise, but it was also so painful. Mm-hmm. Like her basically being starved on the set of The Wizard of Oz. And then she fell out of favor for a very long time because she was like fully addicted to drugs and people were like, no. And then she had this huge comeback in her.
Yeah, like, which we love.
Late life. And then was sort of like a gay icon. And now people celebrate her and honor her in a way that maybe they didn't even when she was alive. It's like careers continue long after we're gone.
I know. The legacy.
The legacy.
Yeah. And it is so cyclical. It's like you get to the top and then you step away and then you return, have a comeback,
yeah,
triumphantly, and then it's you're too big again and you, yeah, must come back down.
I think we're probably about to see one. I mean, people are talking about Angelina Jolie being nominated for an Oscar this year for Maria, mm-hmm, the Maria Callas biopic.
Have you seen it?
No.
Or, yeah, I heard it's not good.
Is it out? No.
No, but I think yeah, it's early. Someone in a screening. Yeah. Yeah, I said it wasn't good.
Oh, fuck.
But I don't know. We are just like this. It's tall poppy syndrome.
Yeah.
Like, I think Americans don't have the name for it, but it's literally like, if the poppy grows too tall, we've got to cut it down. That is really just what it is. And it's something like that. I think I've spoken about this before, but it's so instinctual in me. Like, I have to like actively fight against it,
mm-hmm,
and instead feel one, like, happy for the success, and also see it as proof that it can be done.
Yeah,
like, absolutely. Look, like, someone's done it. Yeah. So can you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like a big shift in thinking and perspective.
Yeah, there are so many things that we all know,
mm-hmm,
that we just like can't practice when it comes to ourselves, where it's like, don't put pressure on ourselves to hold on to anything. It's like, you know, relationships or whatever, of like, it has to be forever. It has to be forever.
Yeah.
It's like that just, I think, like, increases suffering in some way. But then when you're in the moment, it's like, yeah, of course you want to hold on to a career high or a relationship at its peak.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, ideally it is this way forever. But then can you call it a peak if the peak is where you live and it's just becomes.
Exactly.
Then it becomes a plateau.
You need the lows to really, yeah, enjoy the highs. Philosopher hat on.
I know.
We're smoking a pipe.
Yep.
Scribbling.
Opium all over the house.
What did you take away from this in terms of like his outlook?
I think in some way, well, that hard work pays off.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah. It's a simple one, but usually true. I do really attach to these stories and these types of creatives, the like prolific ones where there is the idea of like taking a huge bite out of the world, yeah, and just gorging yourself on projects and ideas and things and doing everything you can in the moment versus this idea of like, well, let's take it easy and maybe I'll do one thing now and then one thing in a couple of years and whatever it is.
Or like always waiting for the next best thing, like, yes, waiting for the right project.
Yeah. When I find out like someone writes like a book a year or like makes a movie a year, I'm just like, let me look into your mind.
Yeah, totally. I know. I think that's why I've been so fascinated with the industry boys who were just two regular like finance guys who just decided, yeah, to start writing scripts together. Yeah. And now I've created one of the most successful dramas on television.
Crazy.
In the early 30s. Them speaking to like the delusion of success, like just believing that they will be successful. And then that being their reality.
Yeah.
Despite the rejection, despite like whether or not something was like good.
Yeah.
Like being like, well, it really doesn't matter because at the end of the day, I'm going to succeed. So it's just a matter of when.
Yeah.
And that is so powerful.
What a comfortable little seat to sit
100%.
On.
100%. What, yeah, a comfortable place to be because there's no real uncertainty apart from timeline.
Yeah.
Timeline is the only variable.
Yeah. 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 It's a when, not an if.
Yeah. Would, yeah, you like to interview Paul Mescal?
Yeah, I would. I think. Yeah. Would you?
I didn't even need to ask you that, yeah, question. I think I would get assigned it and I'd be like, oh, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would need to go out of my way to talk to him.
Yeah.
He's never done that much for me is the thing.
You're not breaking down the door.
No.
Yeah. I get it.
Mr. Mendez, on the other hand, my other Mr. M.
Yeah.
The Mescal and the Mendez.
Imagine they were in a buddy cop movie.
Imagine they were in a gay Call Me By Your Name-esque movie.
I know. Well, Paul Mescal and Josh O'Connor are about to be. In like a World War II gay movie.
And that's your two favorite boys.
I know. It'll be powerful stuff.
We've drawn the comparison before, but you look a lot like a female version of Josh O'Connor.
Thank you.
I That is a compliment.
I find him to be a handsome man. And if I'm a handsome woman because of that, so be it.
This is cute.
Yeah,
this
it was cute. One. Yeah.
I do think after reading like a 2024 profile, I immediately need to go back in time to one that people are just pouring boiling hot tea all over the page.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 And we will. And we will. You'll have to stay tuned to find out what it is.
See you next week. Bye. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at uncovergirlpodcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode, Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
Do you feel like you're going through life clouded by doubt? Talk to California Psychics. Our trusted and accurate psychics are available 24/7, and we guarantee if it's not life-changing, it's free. Download the app or connect with us at californiapsychics.com. Right now, new customers get 80% off their first reading. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.